In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, St. Alphonsus Liguori teaches us that after his resurrection, Christ entered through the doors which were closed into the house in which the apostles were assembled, and he stood there in the midst of them. And St. Thomas says that the mystic meaning of this miracle is that the Lord does not enter into souls unless we keep the door of the senses shut. If we want Christ to dwell within us, we must keep the doors of the senses closed against dangerous occasions. Otherwise, the devil will make us his slaves. There is a great risk, in fact, of eternal loss to those who do not avoid the occasions of sin. We read in the scriptures that Christ and Lazarus both rose from the dead, and Christ, we know, rose to die no more, but Lazarus arose and died again one day. The abbot Garrick remarks that Christ arose free and unbound, but Lazarus came forth bound, his hands and his feet. Miserable is the man, as adds this author, who rises from sin, but still bound by some dangerous occasion, for he will die again by losing divine grace. He then who wishes to save his soul must not only abandon sin, but also the occasions of sin. That is, he must renounce whatever relationship, whatever place, whichever wicked companions, and all such similar occasions that incite him to sin. St. Peter, the first pope, says that the devil goeth about seeking whom he may devour. He is constantly going about our souls, endeavoring to enter and take possession of them. He seeks to place us before the occasions of sin by which he enters into our souls. When the soul yields to the suggestions of the devil and exposes itself to the occasions of sin, the devil easily enters in and devours her. The ruin of our first parents arose from their not flying from the occasions of sin. For God had prohibited them not only to eat, but even to touch the forbidden apple. In answer to the serpent tempting her, Eve said, "God hath commanded us that we should not eat and that we should not touch it." But she saw, took, and ate the forbidden fruit. First she looked at it, then she took it into her hands, and afterwards she ate it. This is what ordinarily happens to all who expose themselves to occasions of sin. Being once compelled by exorcisms to tell the sermon which displeased him the most, the devil indeed confessed that it was the sermon on avoiding the occasions of sin. As long as we expose ourselves to these occasions of sin, the devil laughs at all our good purposes and promises made to God. The greatest care of the enemy is to induce us not to avoid evil occasions. For these occasions, like a veil placed before the eyes, prevent us from seeing either the lights received from God or the eternal truths or the resolutions we have made. In a word, they make us forget all, and as it were, force us to sin. Sadly, it must be admitted that there is one domain in which the devil has much greater success in leading souls into grave sin, a domain which affects many, many souls. With regard to those who have had a habit of impurity, sins of impurity, either with oneself or with others, it will not be sufficient to avoid just the near occasions. If they do not fly also from the remote occasions, that is, the more distant occasions, they will very easily relapse into their former sins. Impurity, says St. Augustine, is a vice which makes war on all and which few conquer. The fight is common, the victory rare. How many miserable souls have entered the contest with this vice and have been defeated? But to induce you to expose yourselves to occasions of this sin, the devil will tell you to not be afraid of being overcome by temptation. I do not wish, says St. Jerome, to fight with the hope of victory, lest I should sometimes lose this victory. And the saint continues, I will not expose myself to the combat with the hope of conquering, because by voluntarily engaging in the fight, I shall lose my soul and my God. To escape defeat in this struggle, a great grace of God is necessary. And to render ourselves worthy of this grace, we must, on our part, avoid the occasions of sin. To practice the virtue of chastity, it is necessary to recommend ourselves continually to God, remaining in constant prayer. We have not the strength on our own to preserve chastity. That strength must be the gift of God. And as I knew, says the author of the Book of Wisdom, that I could not be otherwise continent, except God gave it, I went to the Lord and besought him. But if we expose ourselves to the occasions of sin, we ourselves shall provide our rebellious flesh with arms to make war against the soul. Neither, says St. Paul, yield ye your members as instruments of sin unto iniquity. In explaining this passage, St. Cyril of Alexandria says, you stimulate the flesh, you arm it, and make it powerful against the spirit. St. Philoneri used to say that in the war against the vice of impurity, the victory is gained by cowards, that is, by those who fly from the occasions of this sin. But the man who exposes himself to it, arms his flesh, renders it powerful, so that it will be morally impossible for him to resist its attacks. St. John Chrysostom says that it is as foolish for a man who exposes himself to the occasion of sin to hope to preserve the virtue of purity as to expect that hay, into which a torch has been thrown, will not take fire. No, says St. Cyprian, it is impossible to stand in the midst of the flames, and not to burn. Can a man, says the Holy Ghost, hide fire in his bosom, and his garments not burn? Or can he walk upon hot coals, and his feet not be burnt? Not to be burnt in such circumstances would be a miracle. St. Bernard teaches that to preserve chastity and at the same time to expose oneself to the near occasion of sin is a greater miracle than to raise a dead man to life. The saint illustrates the problem by a concrete example. In the little country of Mauritania, there are bears that go in search of apes to feed upon them, kill them and eat them. As soon as a bear appears, however, the apes run up the trees, and thus they save themselves. But what does the bear do? He stretches out his body on the ground, as if dead, and he waits until the apes descend from the trees. The moment he sees that they have descended, he springs up, seizes upon them, and kills them, and devours them. It is thus that the devil acts. He makes the temptation appear to be dead, but when a soul descends and exposes herself to the occasion of sin, he stirs up temptation and devours her. Therefore, if we wish to save our souls from sin and hell, we must always fear and tremble. With fear and trembling, work out your salvation. St. Paul's Epistle to the Philippians, chapter 2, verse 12. He who is not fearful but exposes himself to occasions of sin shall scarcely be saved. Hence, in our prayers, we ought to say every day and several times a day, that petition of the Our Father, and lead us not into temptation. Lord, do not permit me to be attacked by those temptations which would deprive me of your grace. We cannot merit the grace of perseverance, but according to St. Augustine, God grants it to everyone who asks it of him, because he has promised to hear all who pray to him. Hence, the Holy Doctor says that the Lord, by his promises, has made himself a debtor to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.